I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust settles on another Premiership season. Rangers confirm the likes of Leon Balogun, Yanis Hadji and Vaclav Cherny have left the club, but Steven Gerrard and Russell Martin's name get mentioned more in relation to the managerial post. Alistair Johnson's tipping James Forrest to have a big impact in the Scottish Cup final this weekend, and we hear from Steve Clarke ahead of Scotland's summer friendlies after he named his squad yesterday. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Scott Allen and Gordon DL.
Another exciting season, Premiership season gone, Gordon. Championship, all the way down the leagues. Congratulations to all the winners. Unfortunately, there had to be some losers. We'll still get that playoff with Ross County and Livingston to look forward to. Congratulations to East Kilbride. It's been a long, long journey, but brilliant for them. You watch the games at the weekend coming in, still excitement there. Celtic going on, having a party after that famous goal from James Forrest. You couldn't have written the script, could you? Couldn't have written the script. And now we've got a Scottish Cup final to look for. Best day of the year.
And how are you feeling? Okay, you're going to be out of your usual Friday night routine. You don't have a few Kevins to hold your hand. Instead, it's you who will have to do the babysitting tonight. You comfortable with that role?
Yeah, really comfortable.
Right?
With the Dazzler's company.
You so happy with that, mate?
We're a good match, aren't we?
You should have seen this man yesterday. There was a game on at Celtic Park that we were playing in, and honestly, running the show, slippers on, cigar out, whatever compliment you want. The only thing that I didn't tell him is I could hear the other team moaning, right? Mm. So the other team had Effie Ambrose, who was brilliant, by the way, in their team, and our team had Scott and Marvin.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing them moaning, saying it's
some
not
quality.
Fair. It's not fair because your team's got 2 ex-pros. But I was trying, he's not an ex-pro. I was trying to break it to them that he's still actually playing. You were getting labelled an ex-pro all day. Ex-pro. Don't know how that makes you feel.
I think they're still a bit of life.
They reckon yesterday was your best performance at Celtic Park. I'm not too sure.
You've definitely stole that off someone who said that yesterday.
No, I didn't. And how did you perform? Come on, it's not all about him.
Injured after about 25 minutes,
I told you.
Someone did crack that joke about
minutes,
him.
Though.
A good 25 minutes, sang your praises today.
Listen, it's easy to be up good and down. 25 minutes. Anyway, 01419511025. Give us a call. Let us know what you are thinking tonight. It has been a huge day at Rangers. So, Rangers fans, how do you feel? The list has been released of players leaving the club, and some well-known, some popular, some highly involved players in there, the likes of Leon Balogun, Yanis Hadji. Would you have kept them around? Were they worth another deal? How do you feel about them leaving? Or was it the right time? Vaclav Cherny, confirmation, as I suppose would have to come, that his loan is over and he's heading away from the club. Is that something you think you can try and resurrect down the line in the summer? Or is that him gone? Rafael Fernandez, Casemiro, guys like them, the loan's all finished as well. And the Steven Gerrard rumours really seem to be picking up a bit of pace. Today seems to be about him and Russell Martin a lot. So what are you making of that? Either of those names doing it for you? What do you make of the way this managerial search is panning out? We're going to hear from Alistair Johnston ahead of the Scottish Cup final. We'll get the early build-up started to that. We didn't really get the chance to hear from Steve Clarke yesterday because last night's show was so busy. We didn't reflect on various things from the weekend because last night was so busy. So if you think there's anything left over, We flew around a number of topics last night. Derek McInnes is in at Hearts. Tony Docherty's out at Dundee. We don't yet know who'll take over at Kilmarnock. There is now the Dundee vacancy as well. So much happening. Partick Thistle, you're still looking for your new manager as well, aren't you? So give us a call, 01419511025. Feels like a really interesting end to the season, Gordon, because it's not, the football's finished, but nothing's calming down, because you've got one of our two biggest clubs still needs a manager. Mm-hmm. Or one of our other biggest clubs in Hearts has just appointed one. Dundee are looking for one. Partick, if we're talking about our patch, Partick Thistle are looking for one. And then, of course, players leaving, plans already been made for next season, a Scottish Cup final still to come. This feels as busy as ever.
I don't think I can remember end of a season when, as you touched on there, Gordon, about the amount of managers and clubs that are now looking to employ new coaches to come in. I've got to say, I was very surprised at Dundee. I really was. I know they struggled a little bit. I know they lost a lot of goals, but their aim basically was to stay in the league, and they achieved that. I was very surprised at that. Look at Derek McInnes, an experienced hand going in at Hearts. It'll be interesting to see how he does there. Rangers were still going round with all the names, all the rumours are coming out. Steven Gerrard seems to be a big favourite now. I wonder if that will go over the line. Will it be Russell Martin? It wasn't that long ago, I think it was last week, we were talking, that saying that it wasn't somebody connected with Rangers, it was going to be the manager, and you've got two guys connected with Rangers. So it's strange how it all works out. Then you look down, you know, the road in Ayrshire, Kelly, they've lost a good experienced manager, they need to replace him as well. And you're right, every supporter now starts to look at the information every day, thinking, right, who's leaving? Who's coming in? How are we going to build for next season? Is one of our players going to leave that we shouldn't really let go? You look at one or two. We discussed Balogun, I think, with Mark on Thursday. Mark made good cases about keeping Balogun. I thought they would release him, let him go. It's happened today, Hadji, Tierney. And there'll be plenty more from all clubs all over the country.
Yeah, listen, I think this is the time where the sporting directors and guys in the positions that we maybe don't see much of there now go to work. I think looking at that Rangers, one of the names coming out today, listen, this is going to be a real busy period in terms of the Rangers front, in terms of players leaving and guys who have been good servants to the club. But the rebuild starts now, and it starts as soon as this week. I think we'll have that announcement by the time Friday comes, in terms of who's going to be.
Yeah, end
of
this week.
Yeah, I think so. As Gordon touched on there, Dundee and Kelly jobs available. Tony Docherty, for me, you look at that defensive record in terms of the goals they were leaking. Obviously, Joe Shaughnessy was out for a large part of that, but they did have an attacking threat. They lost Luke McCown to Celtic. They had to fill a gap. I think he's been harshly treated. He would have known what he had to add to his squad to then develop next year, especially after such a good season next year. So listen, it's all going to be going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, loads happening. So join in if you can. We'd love to have you tonight. 01419511025. The name Steven Gerrard has never really gone away in this Rangers managerial search, but it really seems to have picked up pace in the last day or two. So how are you feeling about that? Russell Martin's name not going away either. And Rangers have confirmed Yanis Hadji and Leon Balogun in particular are gone, left the club. No new contracts for them. Is that the right decision as far as you're concerned? Or particularly with Leon Balogun, maybe given him another year, kept him around as a good squad player. You know he's reliable. You know it might not be a guarantee that you can get someone better. So how do you feel about those ones? And Vaclav Černý, gone, loan ended. Is that the end of it? Or can you see that being someone that you get back eventually? Give us a call, please. 01419511025. Craig is first up. How are you, Craig?
Gordon, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. What are you thinking tonight?
Aye, good evening, guys. Basically, I want to do a complete, I don't know if it's 360 or 180 or whatever you would call it, but I previously said I wouldn't take Gerrard back. And obviously, as the Dazzler knows, I was on about a month ago saying that Sean Dyche, had been told by somebody on my bus that Sean Dyche was going to be the next manager.
Yeah, I remember that. Are you born, tell me you've not been on another bus.
No, I've not been on another bus, no.
Right, okay.
No, I'm turning my mind around on Gerrard, but I'll give you the reasons why. So, it kind of contradicts what I was saying previously, but the guy knows the club, right? He's got a lot to prove because obviously, you know, it's I think in a weird kind of way, I hate comparing people to like previous managers, but he's come back to the club. If it indeed is Gerrard, obviously it's not been confirmed, but I think it's by... I think people with a common sense are going to say Steve Gerrard or Russell Martin. 99.9% of Rangers fans are going to choose Steve Gerrard. I think for me why it makes a lot of sense is the guy's got a massive point to prove. Obviously, I think in his own mind, he whatever ideas he had the first time round about being the Liverpool manager, they're gone, right? So he's come back to Rangers, and by all accounts, the reason he left the first time was he didn't feel he was going to be backed. Now, he's not going to get football manager levels of money, right? He's not going to get £200 million to spend, but there's going to be investment there for him this summer. So he can't use that as an excuse to say, right, I'm not going to be backed. So that's the reasons I'm kind of leaning towards him. And, you know, I hate this kind of thing of, oh, he knows the club, he knows the league in this, because we can look back at his first season. His first season was a rebuilding job with, you know, Ross McCrory and Andy. Also, I love Andy Halliday, you know, but, you know, Andy Halliday, Ross McCrory, guys like that. And then he brought in better quality the second season than he proved the third season they won the league. But I think, for me, Gerrard makes more sense now, and it would be a monumental mistake, because it's obviously leaked from somewhere. And I even seen people saying, oh, it's been obvious it's Gerrard from the get-go. I don't think it has been obvious, because this you know, sort of farewell and the Everton link, it's not going away. But as I say, Gordon, I've previously said since, you know, about the start of the month, no for me. But the only non, I know Daz, I don't know if he was joking, but he said Michael Beale come back with him. That's a non-negotiable. Michael Beale cannot come back with him, but yeah.
What's everywhere else with him?
Well, apparently he's been interviewed for the Hull job, was it? I read somewhere today. Is he? Something like that, anyway.
Look, must be in a pub in Hull now.
This has never gone away, but I think, yeah, it's picked up pace. I think it's now becoming really clear that he is on a short list of candidates, Steven Gerrard. Everybody knows the backstory, and so we don't need to say who he is or where he's been. So what do you think, Scott? Craig's done it. We'll call it a 180, Craig, not a 360. So a 180, didn't want him before, now he's happy with it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think when you look at the candidates who are out there, I think Steven Gerrard at this stage of his career, obviously it didn't go to plan for him in Saudi. Either did the Aston Villa job. So I think coming back to Rangers now, with the point to prove, as Craig says, I think it could be a really good fit for Rangers at a really important time. I felt that Rangers, season on season, got better under Steven Gerrard. But for me, I don't think it's a given that he's going to get this one. I think Russell Martin still is a strong favourite. I really do.
Seriously?
Yeah, I do think he is. But for me, if I was to pick one of that, for me it would be Steven Gerrard.
What do you think, Gordon? Is this feeling a bit more real now, rather than, you know, a few weeks ago where it would maybe just be a name, you know, that was thrown out there? Can you start to see this?
Yeah, I can, and it's interesting that the Rangers fans, some of them are starting to turn towards being positive with this move. Look, I'm sort of a sit in the fence with him. He came into Rangers and he won the most important league for them. And he became an instant hero, right? He won one trophy in nine, would I say? That's right. He went down to Aston Villa, as you say, went over to Saudi. Didn't work out for him. Poor. He wasn't a success. But I think when you've got the stature of Steven Gerrard,
absolutely,
I think it gives you that little added advantage. I think players would come and play for him. I think he has a presence, everything about him. I'll be an interesting one to see if they bring him back. I think there'd be a mixed bag with Rangers supporters. I think they're maybe looking for something a little bit different, a little bit more freshness. But as Craig said there, he does know the club. He knows how the supporters feel. He knows that the most important thing for Rangers now is to start winning trophies. And when the pressure was on and he had to win that one, no matter what you say through COVID or whatever, he succeeded. So this is going to be a real interesting appointment from Rangers. But Steven Gerrard the momentum starting to go for him, but it'll be interesting what they do.
So you think, Craig, the fact that he hasn't been successful since leaving can actually be a a sort of good thing. You think he'll come back with a point to prove, because obviously some people might use that the other way and say, you know, he hasn't kicked on as a manager, he's not done well since leaving, and therefore you're bringing him back really solely on what he did before. You know, I guess in theory, had he not, I know this is a big hypothetical, but had he not been at Rangers before, you wouldn't hire him on the back of his last two jobs, is what I'm trying to say. But you think that can be a good thing, because he's got a point to prove.
Yeah, definitely. I totally get your point. I think, you know, if you're looking at him from, if you hadn't been at Rangers, he wouldn't be in consideration. But as I say, I mean, the name I was kind of alluding to was Walter Smith. You know, he went down to Everton and, you know, he managed the Scotland national team. He came back to Rangers in 2007 as a much better manager. And he openly admits that, you know, Walter Smith. And as I say, Steve Gerrard idolised Walter Smith. And I'm not one for these social media things, but, you know, there's a clip going around of Steve Gerrard saying, well, I love Rangers and this, that and the other. But I think he does have a point to prove. And I think, like I said earlier, he's not got that kind of, okay, Celtic have won, was it four or five in a row, whatever, but he's not got that kind of noose around his neck of, he stopped Celtic within 3 years. So, and is that a quick point, sorry, Gordon, on Leon Balogun? I think Leon Balogun, because if you remember, Gerrard actually added Jermaine Defoe to his coaching staff within the last season, and Leon Balogun clearly loves Rangers, you know, going by his statement and how much he's connected with the fans, and he's someone that I always be a bit wary about this, you know, foreigners all buy into the club and this kind of stuff. But Leon Balogun is the one that's really put Rangers to his heart. So I personally wouldn't be surprised if Leon Balogun is, if it is Gerrard, I wouldn't be surprised, because Gerrard signed Leon Balogun. I wouldn't be surprised if Balogun stays on next season, because he said at the end of his statement, he's like, I can't remember the exact words, but it's like, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for just now or something like that.
I think, listen, I
take on board what Craig's saying, I can't deny it, but I think Rangers just now going into this new, going forward with the new owners and the freshness and everything that they're going to try and do, they need to get away from this. Look,
you go back to a manager that's been there before, then.
You go to a club and you can't just say, well, I'd bring him back because he loves Rangers. Listen, stick 20 grand in my at me a week, I'll love Rangers as much as anybody else, right? But you just
cynic.
Can't. Yeah, but I think Rangers just need a different direction, a different approach. Look, I'm not ruling the fact that Steven Gerrard will come back. I think that sometimes you have to go, and all managers that have succeeded will probably tell you the best learning curve was when I got sacked and I was going through a hard time. I found out a lot about myself. I looked back at the mistakes I made and I started being more positive and whatever. Every manager will tell you that story. But I think I'm fed up listening to people saying about, and I'm sorry about this, but, oh, well, he loves the club. He knows where it has to play for the club. It's not about that for Rangers now. It's about people that can get in and do the jobs and do the right jobs.
Any case for you to keep Leon Balogun around?
No, I think obviously Rangers moving in a fresh direction. I think they have to get bodies out of the building. That obviously free up space as well to bring in new blood into the club. I think when you're actually looking though at the two managerial candidates, they've both not had a real successful last couple of years. Russell Martin obviously struggled with Southampton in the Premiership, and I know that has a lot of challenges. And he was very principled in terms of how he played, and that might work coming up to Rangers at this moment in time. But there's going to be, and he's going to have to go out and buy a certain profile of player to fit that system, which at this moment in time, it's the turnaround's going to be quite sharp considering the
biggest one for Steven Gerrard for me is, it was well documented his time in Glasgow that he was the manager, right? Michael Beale was a coach. Gary McAllister was there, right? Now, the Rangers fans have already said, not a chance Michael Beale's coming back into the... Steven Gerrard, to me, is not a coach. He's more a leader. He's the guy that stands out there and dictates everything. He's a presence. He's the one with the name.
Michael Beale took the training.
Exactly, everything. So the important thing for Steven Gerrard coming back was, who's he bringing back in?
It's funny that, because we're not going to open the phone lines and say, right, come on, the big debate is who's coming in as the first team coach. You just don't do it, you're programmed. Because obviously the manager is the most important. But you're right that, you know, we've got Andy on the show regularly who talks about the tactical input that Michael Beale had. And I know that then got scoffed at because of what happened when he became a manager, but that was the reality of it when Michael Beale was the coach. So yeah, maybe it's worth looking at the whole package. Anyway, thank you to Craig. Good time to call. What do you think? Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you've heard? Give us a call.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheese steaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Scott Allen are here. Lots of calls coming in about the Rangers managerial search again. Of course, it's been going for quite a while, but Steven Gerrard, rumour mill seems to be picking up a bit of pace. Russell Martin's being mentioned a lot today as well. We actually stuck a poll on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Twitter feed if you want to go and vote on it. It's got over 5,000 votes already. Steven Gerrard well out ahead in terms of those two. 64% actually to Steven Gerrard, but you can comment your other names, your other suggestions.
MDLs?
Yeah, there's a few bits and pieces. Nothing really that's... Rafa Benitez, one thing there. There's still people saying Davide Ancelotti, etc. So,
Josie, no one there?
There's been quite a few.
Stick him in, I'm voting for him. There's a one percenter.
let's go to Derek on the line. How are you, Derek?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, panel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, Derek.
Gordon, I don't know what the big fuss is to bring Steven Gerrard back to Rangers, because his record at Rangers was absolutely deplorable. And if it wasn't for the 9 in a row season being stopped, Steven Gerrard wouldn't have had a job at Rangers coming to 10 in a row season. He's. I don't know what the fuss is about. It wouldn't be my choice of Rangers manager, and I'll be furious if he comes back.
You say that, you know, if it, what do you mean, if it wasn't for
the... when remember Gordon, the 9 in a row season when COVID stopped.
Oh, right. You think he was on the verge of losing his job, that Hamilton game and stuff like that?
Yes, the fans were very restless with him, and he was losing at home to Hamilton, St Mirren, losing cup semi-finals to Aberdeen, and the year he stopped to 10 in a row. And I heard Gordon Dale saying he stopped 10 in a row. Yes, Gordon, but he won the treble that year. He lost to a very poor St
Johnstone
and St Mirren team in cup semi-finals.
Yeah, I'm not arguing the point, because I said it'd be a mixed bag with Rangers supporters. There'd be a lot, you know, the momentum going for them just now, because of what you said there about that, the most important time to stop that for Celtic. He had to win that league that year, and he was under pressure. That's what he was brought in for, everybody knows. That's what his remit was, and he achieved it. Yes, one trophy out of the possible 9, I think he went in for, is not good enough if Rangers want to be up there challenging. So I totally agree with you. I take on your points. If I'm honest, it wouldn't be my choice, because I think that Rangers need a different direction.
Between him or Russell Martin,
wouldn't be your choice.
No, I would look out the box a little bit, Gordon. I think there's a different sort of a coach. It depends how Rangers want to go, right? We've got to know inside the building, is it a head coach or is it a coach stroke manager that they're looking for? Steven Gerrard looks to me like, yeah, he could probably go and take a training session. That's not his strength. His strength for me is he wants to be a football manager, right? I don't know if Rangers want that. You know, they might change it and say, right, we're going to bring in the players, we're going to identify the players, it's your job now. And a lot of clubs do it, and it's successful, but I don't know if Steven Gerrard's that fit for that sort of a structure.
But see if it's between Gerrard or Russell Martin, is it? Obviously, we're reading today, that's the short list with the two managers. Would you take Russell Martin over
Gerrard? I like the way Russell Martin played football in the Championship with Southampton. And the Championship, as you know, is a very difficult league.
Yep.
Obviously, the Premier League was just a bit too much. He may have learned the fact that he was a bit stubborn. He never changed the way he played. He always wanted, he had this tunnel vision that that's the way I play. Nothing's got to change. Well, the only thing that's got to change is your job. If you keep that, you know, that tunnel vision going the straight same way. He's learned as a manager as well. It's a toss up. I think if you people will go for Gerrard, people will go for Russell Martin. I would like to see some. Another two people added in there for the debate. I don't know, but just something different.
See the one trophy in nine bit, Derek, that gets held against Steven Gerrard by people like yourself or people that don't want him back. I wonder if it's just a bit problematic based on the fact that with the best will in the world, he was never winning the first few trophies, really, was he? I take your point. You know, by the end, once you've got a league-winning team, you really got to be better doing in the cups. But I wonder if it's a bit selective to really, you know, harness ourselves to the 1-9 when the season before Steven Gerrard takes over, Rangers finished third behind Aberdeen. So really, you can kiss the first title goodbye. It's just never going to happen. And, you know, maybe even the second and so on, which I just wonder if that stat sounds worse than it actually is. As true as it is, it's factually correct. People will tell me that and I couldn't dare argue with them. I just wonder if it overlooks the size of the job that had to be done when he first came in.
Not really, Gordon, because in the third season he should have been winning the treble.
But that's what I said, and I get that, but the 1-9 bit comes from is heavily influenced as well, though, by the trophies that you have to try and win in your first season.
Well, he was never going to win anything in his first season. Maybe a cup he should have probably won, but the second and first season, I think he should have done a lot better. And I think his favourite football was too rigid. Russell Martin would be my choice. I say that from the word go. Russell Martin, a better expansive style of football, somebody that's not been there. This can back all the way in. People shouting about keeping this player and that player. This Rangers need a complete clean sweep and somebody that's got a fresh modern idea, a fresh modern manager. And Gerrard wouldn't be my choice. I'm sorry, Gordon, but just because they're 1-9, I didn't like some of his football with points.
Yeah, no, that, and that's fair. That's good. I'm, you know, here's another reason. Because I'm not saying Steven Gerrard's a. She should be nailed on and did a fantastic job. What I'm saying is, I think that if you're purely basing it on the 1-9 bit, I just feel it's a. I don't think it does enough to
rule them out.
No, I think the 1-9 is. There needs to be more to it than that, because if we've all said that you're never winning the first couple. So, see, as an example, see in his last season, if he goes and wins a League and Cup double, right, it's 2-10. Or you know, the next trophy or whatever, if you added on the next trophy, it becomes 2-10, which doesn't sound great either. But once you keep taking into account the first few, which he was never going to win, it's going to take a while for that stat to sound good. But Derek's backing up with other things. I didn't like his style of play. I thought there were other poor results. That's fine. I just mean this constant 1-9, 1-9, 1-9 just probably overlooks the bit at the start when he was never going to win titles anyway.
No, I think he made a good point, Gordon, in terms of the finish third the season before he did take over, and he had a massive rebuild at that stage. I think his name and his reputation got some of the players in. Your Ryan Kent's, who he in the first couple of seasons for Rangers was a fantastic signing. But for me, I think Derek made some good points there about Russell Martin in terms of modern coach and the expansive football. Does then him having that style of play give him a freedom to go and speak to the board and say, I need these type of players, and that maybe is where they get the new fresh blood in because of the certain playing style. So it's going to be interesting. I think even you're reading that stat, there's 64% still in favour him over a modern approach, as Derek says, and Russell Martin. But I think for me, Steven Gerrard, I think he would be reasonably happy with his time at Ibrox. I think obviously stopped 10 in a row, and there was some very good European performances.
I think the vote there'll be a lot of the 64 based on that one title, because it was so important to Rangers. Let's be honest about it. It was everything to them. And I think the supporters, you know, there'll be a lot of loyal supporters out there, but thanks Steven Gerrard for achieving that, right? You just wonder, always get back to how the club is going to go from top to bottom. That decides who the coach, manager, or whatever it is, because he's got to fit in line with that. If there's a new structure going in, which it probably will be, then you've got to pick the best guy that fits that structure.
But to be fair, it sounds like he's well within what Rangers want in a structure. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this discussion about him being on a shortlist.
Yeah, he probably worked off the same structure at Aston Villa.
We've not made this name up, do you know what I mean? Tonight it seems to be got certainly a bit of weight behind it. Let's thank Derek and bring in Robert to get his take on it.
Hi guys, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Aye, fine, thanks. I tried going last night, couldn't get on. I was champed a bit to get a hold of Andy. But anyway, I've got two guys that played football, and obviously they'll give me their honest opinion. I've got 3 points, guys. What you want me to do? You want me to give you the 3 points first?
Let's go manager first. You crack on.
Right, managers, right. I've already come on and said this before. Number, I sang wholeheartedly what the guy said previous. Right, Gerard came, done what he had today, Stoke Celtic winning 10 in a row, and I'm thankful, ever thankful for it. Number two, I definitely think Tuchel, I would take a Tuchel. I think the boys, when they left Rangers, he's achieved everything that's to be achieved in football. And I think if he came back, the wealth of knowledge that guy's got, and the way he played football, that kind of player, he just doesn't give in. He's wanting everybody to run through brick walls the way Jock Wallace. And Gordon will know who, obviously, about that. What's your thoughts on that? And then if I can come back with my other 2 points.
He's the Hajduk Split head coach at the moment. We obviously know what he did as a player. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not all about as a player. You look at what Barry Ferguson achieved as a player at Rangers, and they've dismissed him for all the jobs.
So this was a much lengthier experience coaching.
That's not a fair comparison, is it? I think it's all about what he does as a coach and as a manager or whatever he may be. You would need to look at his recruitment, you need to look at his style of play. He's certainly experienced, he's had a few jobs. That's a very interesting one. I never even thought about him, to be quite honest with you, but he might be one that, and people will say, especially Rangers and fans, because fans like this, he brings a passion as well. Let's face it, he's a very passionate guy, especially in the touchline.
Same as Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a big name. Would they attract players? The contacts that he must have, because he's played at a top level. He's managed at a top level, so he's got a lot of contacts. Need to depend on sitting down face to face and just seeing where you're going to go with it. But there'll be a lot of good names mentioned out there, because Rangers is a very good job to get. And when new owners come in just now, I think it's a brilliant venture to go on if you're a top coach stroke manager to take it forward.
Why not Steven Gerrard, Robert?
I just think, guys, why go back the way? The guy's been it and done it, right? I just think... Everybody thought it was him, and then he said, no, it was Beale. What was Beale done? Why go back the way?
The only thing I'll say, Robert, just quickly, right, you say, why go back the way? Would Celtic fans say that now about Brendan Rodgers?
Aye, but by the way, Gordon, Brendan Rodgers came back for a reason.
So was Steven Gerrard.
No. Oh, don't let me finish. The fans slaughtered him. Absolutely slaughtered them. They didn't want them back. They'd banners up. You're a Judas. You've done this. You've done that. You've done this. We never done that with Gerrard. We just says, look, all right. The way Souness done the exact same. Souness done the exact same. He managed his then. He thought the grass was green on the way. And then if you kicked him on your show tonight, he would turn around and say his biggest regret was going to be for Rangers. So that's my point with Gerrard. I wouldn't take him back. I could thank him. If I've ever met him in the tune, I would buy him a pint. Well done.
Could probably buy his own.
He would buy you one back. I think he could afford that.
Always difficult to compare because it's two different clubs in different places. I also think, though, if we're taking away the manner that people left and the bad taste that leaves, one thing Celtic fans would not have debated was the success Brendan Rodgers had. Yeah. It wasn't up for debate. Mm-hmm. Whereas the level of success Steven Gerrard had does appear to be up for debate. Because we're seeing it playing out in front of us. Some people are saying, well, you know, he did. They won the title and it was the most important one. But it wasn't a sort of across the board, everybody would agree it was a wholehearted success. He was absolutely wonderful, and you would be mad not to take him back. You know, there's none of that. It seems a bit more debatable. Would you have just expected, let's take all of that out of it, Scott, would you have expected with a new ownership and all that, that kind of logic that Robert says, you know, don't go back, just something totally new, something totally fresh? Does it matter?
Yeah, no, I would have expected that. That's a, I'm not going to lie, I have been a bit surprised by obviously just the two names that are on the shortlist as we read this, and that might not be gospel, but that's what seems to be out in the press today. So I'm a little bit surprised, especially obviously a lot of Rangers fans expecting a bright new future. Whether going back to Gerrard fits the philosophy of these new owners, we'll just have to wait and see. But listen, for me, Steven Gerrard has got it over the line for Rangers. He's won that domestic title that they waited for years. He stopped 10 in a row. For me, I felt they improved year on year in, year out under Steven Gerrard. But for me, I did feel that as a obviously the 60 the 49ers coming in.
Nearly.
Do you know something? I was going, please just keep going, just for a second. You should have seen your face there, mate. Honestly,
it was a good, save.
You looked at me and you went back to
40.
Is she rubbing off on me? With the 49ers coming, I did feel there would be a fresh approach.
It's going to be interesting. Thank you very much to Robert on the line, 01419511025. It's another good time to give us a call. You can chip on that, you can move it on. A lot of news coming out of Ibrox today, because we've got the list of players leaving. Václav Černý's loan's over. Would you take him back, Rangers fans? Do you think you can get him back? Is this it? Is this goodbye? How do you feel about Yanis Hadji, Leon Balogun, etc.? Give us a call. Celtic fans, a bit of a quieter few days for you before we really crank up towards the cup final. But we'll hear from Alistair Johnson, so why not give us a call, and we'll speak to you after this. £534,000 is at stake here, and if you want a huge 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. If you want just one entry, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate as well. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday. Answer the call. £534,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025 right now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Scott Allen are here for you tonight. Give them a call, 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in Billy, who's in Toll Cross. How are you, Billy?
Good evening, lads.
What are you thinking tonight, Billy?
Well, when we were talking about, I wouldn't have Russell Martin. I mean, to use the words there, once great man, complete and utter bunkum. I mean, Jimmy Sanderson.
I'm glad you went for that word. I was worried for a bit of where that was heading.
That's all right. For what I know, I mean, Stevie Gerrard's in the door. Stevie Davis is number two. And Jordan Henderson's coming in as a player coach. And the first signing will be Cameron Burgess of Ipswich.
Brilliant, that's a proper rumour.
Billy's been on the same bus as that last guy.
No, I've seen a few people tweeting me that.
I'm not on any buses.
No?
A few people have tweeted.
Who gave you that information, Billy?
Nah, I'm not saying.
Never reveal your sources, Billy. He wouldn't.
Correct.
Listen, if people out there know the full makeup of the backroom staff and the first signing, then fair enough. Maybe they do. What you did say, though, is an important point. Look, it's never going to get the same headline attention, but maybe who isn't the coaching staff is every bit as important.
100% is.
If we've learned this before about Steven Gerrard and the Michael Beale thing and so on, I mean, his other coach at Villa was Neil Critchley. Could you see him? Did he come back?
That's what
I'm... A quick return to Scottish football.
Nowadays in football, backroom staffs are so important. So and Scott will tell you, at every level, so important. You need that. You need the strength of everyone concerned pulling together to make it strong bond. So you know what your strength is. Like, say, Andy Halliday has sat in this programme many a time and said Michael Beale's strength was on the on the training ground.
He said Steven Gerrard set standards, maintained discipline,
100%, and it worked, and it was put together, and they won that league, that important league that year. Now, what happens is if Steven Gerrard is going to come into the building, and Billy's 100% certain in that, I just think people look at Rangers men. You know, well, Steve Davis, he was interim manager. He's been there. He's a hero there. They love him. He could come on. We don't know how good a coach Steve Davis is, or what his staff is with him. This.
Is it more likely? Well, I know Billy's then thrown in Jordan Henderson. Do you think Steven Davis is more likely to come in as the Gary McAllister bit of the trio from the first time, and then actually it would be another unknown, not unknown, but you know, another coach from somewhere that would come in?
Yeah, I think if that was the case, Steven Gerrard would obviously do what Gary McAllister done first time round, and obviously the assistant manager for me would have to have more coaching experience.
Cameron Burgess, would that excite you as a first signing, Billy, if it was to be the case?
He's a good young player. Not, I mean, he's done well at Ipswich. Fair dues. Not, I mean, they're going down this year, but I mean, he's been a decent player all season.
You just wonder, right? You wonder what way Rangers are going to go with this with the new owners coming in. You're talking there, and I know the argument is, I said player coach, but you're bringing in Jordan Henderson there, player coach. Yeah, you would see that. As with the experience and everything, and the sort of, we hear he's a brilliant professional and it could rub off. I don't understand where Rangers are going to go in the sense of, are you going to bring in players at that age now at the end of their career just to say, right, you're a stopgap? They get rid of Balogun because.
Yeah, maybe one or two. You know,
they'll need day ones. To be fair, Jordan Henderson's. He was in recent, I think,
England squad.
But I think the way Rangers are going to go, they get rid of Balogun. They could have kept Balogun as a player coach because everybody was talking about how good he was. He's a Rangers man. He's still fit, but he took a lot of injuries there. He hardly played any minutes.
We are in the rumour mill, but if we're talking about kind of what you would be hoping to get on the pitch from a player coach, you would opt for a Jordan Henderson over Leon Balogun.
You probably would, because of the career Jordan Henderson's had. He's an England international, he's played with Liverpool.
What do you make of the signing, Scott, if that's the case? Because that has been a rumour for a while, it's been reported for a while, Cameron Burgess. Because look, Kevin Thelwell must have been doing something already in terms of player recruitment. So it could be the case that they are close to some signings. He, funnily enough, might be one of the reasons that you don't keep Leon Balogun, because you're going to go and try and sign a centre-back, an Australian international, somebody who played in the English Premier League.
Yeah, I think it would be a decent signing. I just think, listen, for me, first and foremost, the manager has to be in place. That is the most important thing for Rangers at this moment in time. But if that's the route they're going to go down, I think, obviously, the Dazzler's speaking about obviously getting rid of Balogun and that experience. For me, if you are going to go down the route where you're looking to sign players and hopefully develop them, then selling them on for larger fees in a few years' time, then you have to have guys who are good around the change room and when called upon are ready to come in and play in the team. And that experience helps the players that they're going to bring in who are young deal with the pressures of playing for a team like Rangers.
Billy, what do you make of that list today of, you know, the players that have left? Leon Balogun, Yanis Hadji, Tom Lawrence, those were like the permanent signings. And then the most significant of the loan signings, obviously, is Vaclav Cherny. How do you feel about those exiting?
I'll definitely miss Balogun. I mean, I love Balogun. I still think he was one of our best defenders. Although I think he only managed 26 games this season, which in Scotland, I mean, if you're playing in Europe and all the rest of it, you need to be playing more games than 26.
Yeah, I think that's what held him back. I think that's what, look, you look at him, he was still a player that you could trust pace-wise. He was a good defender. He was a solid defender. I think Rangers looked at him, and I think Billy makes a good point. The amount of minutes, especially near the end of the season there, he was picking up a lot of niggle injuries. He is a bit older now, and I think Rangers just looked to go down a different route. I thought he was a very good player for Rangers, but I do agree that if I was making the decision, I would have probably let Balogun go as well.
What about Cherny, Billy? I mean, officially he was always going to, I guess, kind of have to leave right now, and then that was his loan agreement ended. Does that to you mean that's him, he's gone, he won't play for Rangers again? or do you think they could still try and do something over the summer?
I would like to think they could get him back in, because he's a decent player. I mean, he's proved it all season. But in all honesty, I think that ship sailed.
What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I think that would be...
I think that was him leaving today,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, I think that was him leaving. And it would be interesting to see what the price tag was for him to get him back in. But for me, I think Rangers will look at other options.
Okay, thank you very much to Billy on the line. Let's do this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. That was a quick first hour. It's Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take down Scott Allen or Gordon Dalziel and win a signed ball in the process. You're running out of chances to do it this season, so let's hear from you on 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7. Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, let us know what's on your mind. It's been a very busy show from the Rangers fans' perspective. Stephen Gerrard's name really getting mentioned a lot and linked with this managerial vacancy. Lots of first team players leaving today, the likes of Yanis Hadji, Leon Balogun, Vaclav Cherny's loans coming to an end, Tom Lawrence, etc. What do you make of all that stuff? You can keep the calls coming if you so wish. Celtic fans, how are you feeling on Cup Final week? Yes, it's early in the week. You'll be enjoying the quiet, I guess, just basking in the joy of trophy day at the weekend and looking forward to trying to make it a treble. And lots of other stories doing the rounds. Derek McInnes is in at Hearts, Tony Docherty's out at Dundee, who gets the Kelly job, and so on. Give us a call and we'll speak to you after this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. We're also going to be taking a closer look at who will be the newest team to play in the SPFL next season. We'll do that this hour as well. So Lewis is on the line. How are you, Lewis?
Not bad, guys. Who's yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad, Lewis. Have you ever played before?
First time.
Who do you fancy?
Scott Allen.
Oh, Lewis, that's a bad choice. I'm having a nightmare.
You're
right
a
now.
Dreadful run.
I am in a terrible run. And you've picked run. Scott Allen. Just to be fair, I do agree with you.
Just not finishing the season strongly.
No, 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 I've switched off.
Do you think it's the good weather? The summer months don't suit you?
Yeah. I've completely switched off from this competition.
Just distracted.
I feel like I can't win it.
I think
there's no point.
I think you get distracted. You've got too much other stuff on your plate at the moment.
Yeah, certainly.
And you just don't quite focus in on the task in hand. When it gets to the summer, that's what you're like. Anyway, Lewis, heads it will be Scott Allen. Tails it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it's Mr. Preoccupied. It's Gordon Dalziel up against Lewis from Coatbridge.
So, all the best, Lewis.
Perfect, thank you.
If you can't win tonight, don't ever phone back.
Give Gordon Dalziel something else to listen to so he can't hear your attempted answers, Lewis. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Feel free to pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yep.
You're a good man, Lewis, and your 30 seconds starts now. What stadium would you find on Gorgie Road?
Pass.
Vaclav Cherny's on loan to Rangers from which German club?
Wolfsburg.
Who scored for St Mirren against Celtic at the weekend?
Oh, pass.
How many stars are on top of Aberdeen's badge?
Two.
Which team did East Kilbride beat in their playoff to gain promotion to League 2?
Bonnie Rigoles.
Which Hibs player got their first Scotland call-up yesterday?
Oh, Nicky Cadden.
What's bigger, the population of Motherwell or the capacity of Hampden?
Capacity of Hampden.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Can.
Yep.
What are you, three defeats in a four in a row?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Dreadful. Really poor recently.
Doesn't concern me anymore.
Okay. 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions, of course, and your time starts now. What stadium would you find on Gorgie Road?
Gorgie Road is Hearts.
Vaclav Cherny is on loan to Rangers from which
Wolfsburg.
German club? Who scored for St Mirren against Celtic at the weekend?
Fazel. He's away. Fazel.
How many stars Fazel. Are on top of Aberdeen's badge?
That'll be three.
Which team did East Kilbride beat in their playoff Bonnie to Rick. Gain promotion Close. To League 2? Which Hibs player got their first Scotland call-up yesterday?
Bowie.
What's bigger, the population of Motherwell or the capacity of Hampden?
The population of the well.
What do you think, Lewis? Have you done enough?
I think he's just edged it there.
Okay. How are we feeling about the first question? I'll let you decide, Scott Allen. You're the referee. What stadium would you find on Gorgie Road?
Don't start.
He said Hearts. We need to be sure that you need to say Tynecastle.
No,
Tynecastle.
Where do Hearts?
It's not called Hearts Stadium.
Where do Hearts play?
I know, but I said what stadium?
Aye, Hearts Stadium.
You said Hearts.
Yeah, Hearts Stadium. I'll tell you what. I'm telling you now. I'll be walking out.
We'll leave it as a question mark.
Oh, we better not. See, that comes back to the decider.
We'll let producer Jay decide. He can have the
no, because I've just slaughtered him. We factor 50 in there.
Václav Černý's on loan to Rangers from Wolfsburg. You both got it, so we're level. Who scored for St Mirren against Celtic at the weekend? Vassell played for Kilmarnock. All over the place. It was Jonah Ayunga.
I couldn't have got that out of close. Did he get that?
He did not.
Good.
How many stars are on top of Aberdeen's badge? It's two, and Lewis got it.
Oh, I was going to go two.
Right, I will give you Hearts. I need to do it, Lewis. I just couldn't take that off.
Right, hold on. Keep going.
So are we level now? Yeah, properly level.
Right.
Yeah, you were one up. You both got Wolfsburg. No one got Junger. Lewis got Aberdeen's badge. Level game. Okay. Yeah. You both got Bonnie Rig Rose beaten by East Kilbride. So we're still level.
I know what you're doing. I know what he's doing. You're right. He's giving me the Hearts one because he knows I'm beat. 100%.
Honestly.
I have worked with you too long.
Right, okay.
Chief, I'm telling you now.
I'm kind of trying to do that, but honestly, I'm not counting fast enough. I genuinely don't know yet. That's the honest truth. Are we still level with Bonnie Rigrose?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Their first Scotland call-up was Kieran Bowie. Gordon Gorrick goes one up. What's bigger, the population of Motherwell?
It's got to be the whale.
Or the capacity of Hampden.
Hampden's what, 50,000?
It's the capacity of Hampden.
Yes.
Shut up. Equalize. Motherwell is bigger. Are you talking North Motherwell as well in here? Are you taking the fool?
I'm surprised.
There's more than 50,000 people in Motherwell. Live in Motherwell.
Listen, I knew this question would cause chaos because I don't know specifically what the official boundary of Motherwell is.
Right, okay.
I don't know. Are you taking in like Muirhouse and surrounding areas?
I don't know, right?
But that might be. But the official answer on my sheet, it's not even close, is that the population of Motherwell, according to my sheet, is 32,000.
The radius of Motherwell
is 32,000.
Oh, who? That's in my block.
According to the 2020 census, the Motherwell locality, including Motherwell, Kirfin, Newark Hill, is 32,000.
That's nonsense.
The 2020 census says it.
Is that as a decider then?
2020. This is 2025.
Yeah, but they don't have them every year.
You know what I mean?
How many people have them every few years?
How many people have been born in 5 years, moved to this place of Motherwell? Houses are going up all over the place in Motherwell. There are new estates, left, right and centre. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that Hampden holds more than Motherwell? No, it doesn't. Yep, no, it does not. Somebody please...
According to the most recent census, what can you do?
Not a chance.
The census is important. The Dazzler riding in on a donkey. No room at the inn.
No, I'm not happy. See if I can beat here.
Did you fill in the census?
Exactly. I must admit, this has caused chaos. I'm getting already communication from Motherwell residents. Deborah's not happy. She says Motherwell's 100%. Got to have a bigger... It's according to the census. It's quite official.
People might not vote in it if put their census in. Vote. Not vote. Put their census in. So,
do you know he's never voted in any election in his entire life?
Seriously?
I don't vote, mate.
Honestly, have you ever... Because I know loads of people like aren't engaged with politics or whatever. Have you ever met anybody that's never voted before of adult age?
No, apart from him? Right. If there was anybody, I wouldn't be surprised by not voting.
Like, never once.
Right. See the people that are now texting in? 100% spot on.
We'll see unless I get 20,000 messages to make up the shortfall. Look.
Right, okay, we'll go with the... Okay.
Hold on a minute.
See, to be fair to Lewis, right, I'm all for Lewis because...
No, hold on.
Maybe you should have taken Hearts off me, but you knew I was right.
I gave
you... Yeah, you gave me it, so... Right. You gave me it because you know I'm terrible.
Producer Jay is also from Motherwell, right?
Yeah.
Hold on, bear with me. It's not like he's just walked around and counted. It is according to the census. So that's, I think that's a fair... source.
No, it's not.
What do you mean?
It's not accurate. We can go round Hampden and count the seats.
I know, but hold on
but
a minute.
People might not fill in but forums.
What you're asking me here, you're asking me to discredit the accuracy of the official 2020 census and give more weight to your brain.
Yes.
That's basically what you're 100%. Asking me to do. Can you see how that might be flawed?
Right. And plus the fact, you think about that, you're talking 18,000 here. That's nonsense.
Right. There's only one way. You get up the road and count them, right?
That now, is nonsense.
No, I'm surprised at that.
Nonsense. Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not arguing over
this. Tiebreaker.
We're not here to discuss
You're not basing this on anything other than just your opinion on it. We've at least got some evidence which suggests you're wrong.
That does get me people in it sometimes when I get in. You know, see the Rossell on.
Do you know what the worst of this is? We've been arguing so long, Lewis's line's he's gone. He's broken up.
Where is he? Come on, Lewis, get yourself back.
He broke up and we now can't get him to do the tiebreaker. Because we've argued so long.
He's injured.
He genuinely, he's not answered. I think his phone battery's died. This has never happened.
That's you.
This is the end.
That's the tactics.
Does he get
the win? This, not a chance. This is the end of my 8th season on the show. That has never happened where we've been cut off just before the tiebreaker.
I think Lewis realises he's heard my answer.
Your logic.
My logic, yes, that's the word I'm looking for. And went, the Dazzler's right, 100%.
Right, what should we do here? Right, let's get creative. How about first person to phone right now just takes on the Dazzler and the tiebreaker? On behalf of Lewis. So you don't need to get any other questions. You just come straight on and you get into the tiebreaker.
Why don't Scott and I?
No, straight on. I want to give it to the people. 0141 951 1025. Call right now. You just go straight into the tiebreaker. Take on the Dazzler. How does that sound? Give us a call. I'll just Google it for you, right? Just so the phone lines have gone mental.
They're all ready for it. Population. They know how bad I am. Terrible at tiebreakers, mate.
Right,
I got it on the nose last week.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. Population of Motherwell, according to Google, first thing that comes up, 32,840.
Well, we're up to 840 right. now. Two minutes ago, it was 32.
There's another one, okay. 33,000.
There we go. Keep going.
Motherwell on the North Lanarkshire Council website.
North Lanarkshire? What about South Lanarkshire?
Well, that's not Motherwell then, is it?
It is. Still based
no,
in
that's
Motherwell.
Hamilton. 341,000. So we're in and about that area. You are wrong. You're wrong.
I'm not buying that, mate.
There's another entry which says the Motherwell Community Board area is 53,000.
Forget Lewis, no wonder they're running away. Honestly, I'll tell you what, they deserve everything you get in there for coming out with. The silliest question I've ever heard.
Do you know what? That's going to be my feedback to them throughout the close season is why leave it to chance? Why ask a question that could have this grey area about it. Save me having to listen to him.
Told you, mate. Told you.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Do you know something? I could have caved in there and they would all went, oh, he's wrong.
No.
I stuck by my guns because I knew Motherwell. I'm a Motherwell through and through.
You are census.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And Deborah, who felt very strong, is also now sending me some table which says 54,000. Oh, doesn't matter. Stephen and Paisley's on. To everyone else who's trying to take him on in the tiebreaker, I'm sorry. Just hang up now. It was lovely to have your attempts tonight, but let's do it. Stephen, how are you?
I know bad.
This is really simple, Stephen. I'm going to ask a question. I'll get Gordon DL to write down his answer, and then I'll invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Right, okay.
How many clean sheets have been kept in the Scottish Premiership this season? Write it down quickly. How many clean sheets in the Premiership this season? What are you going for, Stephen?
Clean sheets.
Oh, just Google it, mate.
Right. Well, no, hold on.
I'm not quick enough.
What did you say?
105.
105. Okay. Just Gordon Google Dale's gone 74. The answer, one of you, is only 9 out.
Oh yes. Go on, that's
it's 116, Stephen.
No, it's not.
It is. You've
made that up.
No. There you go. Well done, Stephen. You've won the side ball. It's right. On its way.
Oh, canter. Brilliant. Cheers.
Was it? That was a canter, quite officially, because
what about you? You said that was a good guess.
I'm doing green up trying to catch mackerel and I jumped back into the motor because my back was breaking. And I says, how do you not tell me the Peter Pundit was on? And she's like, oh, I just turned it on.
Did you catch any?
No, for 10 cash, man, absolute mince.
You're not going to catch mince in there,
I've
mate.
Just got Stephen reeling in a signed ball now.
I wasn't even playing the game.
Brilliant. Hold on, Stephen, you're not getting the ball.
He
you
is.
Were playing
no,
behalf of
Lewis. Both getting one. Well done, Stephen. Who's your, who are you with?
My sweetheart, Ashley.
Ashley, you keep him right, Ashley. Thanks to both of you. Well done.
By the way, Ashley loves a Thursday night. She loves golfing.
Tell Ashley I love her as well. That's why I let you win, Stephen.
You know what? Sign the bond, I'll get to Ashley, all right?
Certainly, I'll sign it to Ashley. Lots of love from the Dazzler.
You could do that. That could be how we distinguish it. So Stephen doesn't, he just gets the ball just from you to Ashley from the Dazzler. And then
I'm off to shortly, that's me sorted.
He's a real romantic.
Exactly.
He's going to get, he's
going to get you a macro, but I'll get you a ball.
I was going to say a macro and a signed ball. Well done, thank you Stephen from Paisley. 01419511025.
That was alright. That was
the population
terrible.
Population of Motherwell, eh?
You've not heard the end
yet. Spent a bit of time when that beat the pundit.
That's nearly the first break.
And then the final part of the show.
That is outrageous. Do you, I feel like we should just, will we keep this the nonsense part of the show? We'll take the break and then we'll get back to normality. Because the most outrageous thing I heard you two arguing about, we could maybe throw this open to the listeners. You seriously, I heard you coming in the studio with him trying to tell me when you have cereal in the morning, you put the milk in the bowl first and then the Weetabix.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. That is genuine. You need investigated.
What about my counter argument?
I'm not interested.
No, you're going to see this bath thing again.
No, why don't you do the counter argument?
Which is what?
People? Right. Well, I put the
milk
in first. My Weetabix, right? See, when you get a bath, what do you put in first? You don't sit in the bath and then put the water in there. Does anybody do that? No, you don't. You put the water in, then you go in the bath.
I've now got images of him sitting in an empty bath. Nah,
with his shins out.
I see what you're saying, and I don't know why it's different, but it is. There is no way you fill a bowl of milk and then put your Weetabix in it.
Yeah, because this all came with the coffee, because he said...
No, that's different. No, let's not muddy the waters, because hot drinks are different.
But right.
You seriously, a bowl of milk and then your Weetabix in it?
Yeah, then that's, you know, the bizarre levels, of course. Do you know doing that?
No.
Nobody will.
How did you do a bath? Put the hot water in first.
Argument's
completely
different.
Completely.
Thank
you. 01419511025. We will talk football next. Give us a call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Scott Allen are here. 01419511025. You can get in touch on the phones, on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Give us a shout, let us know what you're thinking tonight. I do have a full-time teaser for you. I want to move on quite quickly, so don't even need any answers.
Right, okay.
I'm just going to set it up, give you some thinking time. The Pragmatic Panda, apparently, has sent this in. So, excluding the finals that Rangers and Celtic have been in, can you name 8 Old Firm players since 2000 who've played in a UEFA Cup or Europa League final for another club? So, it doesn't include, you know, Seville for either side or Manchester. Can you name 8 ex-Old Firm players since 2000 they've played in a UEFA Cup or Europa League final for another club? We'll just leave that there. We'll leave it bubbling away. Let's do some actual football discussion. There was far too much about Gordon DL in the bath and arguing about the population of Motherwell and so on before the break. So 01419511025. And let's do something that actually I wanted to do last night, but last night was one of the most mentally busy Mondays we've had in ages, and I thought we would do it tonight and give it the attention it deserves. As you heard on Beat the Pundit, we have a new name in the SPFL setup for next season. East Kilbride came through the playoffs against Bonnyrigg Rose at the weekend. Wanted to shine a light on it. So let's welcome to the show East Kilbride manager Mick Kennedy. How are you, Mick? You well?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Congratulations. How does it feel to have it all done and dusted? I know it meant a lot to everyone.
Relieved, I think, more than anything, to be honest with you. Duncan, just after last year's disappointment as well, and probably over 2 games, I felt we deserved to go through, but obviously didn't. So it's a lot of pressure on everyone again. So I just probably more relieved than anything else.
Yeah, what did that feel like pressure-wise? Because you would have put kind of pressure on yourselves, I guess, wanted to win it, made no secret of it. You know, the full club is almost kind of geared towards trying to get there. You're then there to be shot at, and everyone wants to bring you down, sort of thing. What was it like handling that all season?
I think the most difficult thing was picking the group up from last year as well, with the disappointment, and try to galvanise everyone again to try and win the league first and foremost, to give yourself the opportunity. So it's been a long, hard season. Then obviously we had a fantastic season domestically in terms of winning the league, winning 2 cups, and then we had a really good running the senior cups as well. And but all that would have not mattered if we hadn't won the league and went in the League Two. So a lot of pressure on everyone's shoulders. But listen, that's ultimately what we went to the club for. That's what we were asked to do when we agreed to take the job. So and I think that was a realistic expectation. So it's just finally glad to get it done.
What's been key to it? Because as you say, you can tell me what's the total number of games you've played again. It's a lot.
62.
62 games. It's remarkable. And obviously a lot of that has to be kind of midweek, weekend. You're obviously dealing with part-time players and so on. What's been the biggest challenge or the thing that you've been most proud of?
I think it's maintaining the intensity we play in possession, out of possession, to be honest with you. It's difficult. We've obviously played a lot of teams as well in the Cups, the leagues above us as well, and picked up some fantastic results. So it's just more the fact the guys have managed to maintain that level of consistency across the season. Then, in my opinion, over the sort of four games against Bonnyrigg and Brora, I mean, our fitness was a massive part of success in those games as well. So I'm delighted the guys still had that energy and drive and desire in the sort of 58 to the 62nd game of the season.
How you doing, Mick? Scott?
How are you, mate? All right?
Oh, congratulations. Just a quick one for me. I think, obviously, you speak about the volume of games the players have played, and obviously a lot of them will have jobs that obviously out with playing part-time. It's a massive credit, obviously, getting the right players in the building, but also players that I know some of them really well who obviously got up to League Two, who you think will be able to obviously shine again in that league, because there's a lot of quality within your squad.
I know, definitely. I think that was part of the challenge, Scotty, was the fact that obviously, the plan was to try and win the league and get into League Two, but try and keep the core group together. Yep. But simply just because a lot of it down to the environment and how we work and how we play and stuff like that, it makes it easier when you progress it to the league above that you can keep as much of that core group together to try and maintain that sort of those levels. So I think we'll carry in a really strong group. We'll have to do some recruitment, to be fair. We're working on that at the moment. And then we need to go into League Two, and the reality is we need to challenge ourselves to try and win it. That's the sort of pressure I'll be putting on myself and the staff and the players. So, but there's a lot of work to be done in between now and the season starting, but I think we need to go in there and try and put ourselves in a position where we're competing at the top end of it.
How much are you looking forward to? Because you look at, if I saw congratulations as well, I saw you and Simon Ferry and your backroom staff have signed new contracts. It was announced today by the club. We've obviously had you in here before, Mick, when you had your famous win for Darvel, you know, against Aberdeen, to sort of now be taking this step into the SPFL, into the professional setup, and try and take on those challenges. How much are you looking forward to it?
I mean, I think one of the things that's always been labelled at me a wee bit as well is the fact that the clubs have been at Darvel and East Kilbride, like, we've been very well resourced, and I think that's true. So the reality is we're probably going into a more level playing field. So it'll be interesting to see consistently week in, week out, can we maintain those standards in terms of how we play and that sort of possession-based football. Well, I think we can, because we've done it consistently this season against teams in the League One, the Championship and the Cups. But it'll be interesting to see if we can do that week in, week out in that environment. But that's part of the challenge, because nothing will change in terms of how we play at all. So I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward to it. The different challenge, different environment to go in and play football, different play against different coaches, different structures, different setups and all. So looking forward to it with excitement.
It was the stat, East Kilbride was always the biggest town that hadn't had a team in the professional setup in Scotland, and that's now been wiped out. What does this mean to, you know, the town, the community, everybody that's kind of involved there? You feel like it's a town and a community, like I say, that, you know, deserves an SPFL club?
It's always spoken about in terms of the potential because of the sheer volume and size of the community, but realistically, we need to get the fan numbers up. I mean, they've grown massively since me and Si have joined the club and the staff, and that comes on the back of bringing success. But the challenge now is, can we get into the community and start to grow the numbers even bigger? It's already having a population of 85,000 people, but the reality is we need to find a way of tapping into that and try and engage more people to come to the games week in, week out, and try and grow the support, because that's only going to help in terms of the project as we move forward. So, as I say, it's all one having that size of population, but the reality is we need to engage with them better and try and grow the numbers. But the first step of that has been successful. Then I think when you start to bring success, then I think that all that process becomes a lot hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, I think obviously watching from afar, Mick, and obviously the style I play, I think that definitely attracts fans. Is there a possibility you can maybe have the games on a Friday night if possible? We could maybe get some fans in who maybe go elsewhere on a Saturday.
I think that's part of the challenge, Scotty, that like obviously like any sort of town in the central belt, there'll be a large pub posting of people who are Celtic fans and Rangers fans, and so you're trying to engage with different parts of the community. So there'll be loads of different strategies in place to try and grow the fan base. Obviously the club are now engaging with the council to build a new stadium. I think those talks started yesterday. All that's part of the sort of long-term plan in terms of growing the club. But there's no point having a big stadium. We've not got enough people inside it. So we need to make sure, alongside that development, is that we're bringing in more people through the doors. But a part of that is obviously the style of play and the philosophy, and then ensuring the success at the end of that.
Mick, congratulations. Gordon Dale here. Hope everything's cheers, well, Gordon. You mate. Brilliant. Great to see that success. It's well-deserved. I'd been about the club for a few years, and then obviously you come in, we sign your staff, and you've taken on another level. See next year then, you're going up obviously another level, and you know that. What's the ambition of the club for your first year, you know, in the SPFL?
One league two.
Brilliant.
That's as simple as that.
Aye, because you get clubs, new clubs getting into leagues, and you're thinking, right, first year just consolidate in the league, we can build from there. But obviously, you're a very ambitious club. You're a very ambitious manager and coaching staff. So I think people that, these go bride, people that be sitting there listening to you will be very positive in hearing it.
Aye, no, definitely. Listen, I wouldn't sit here and kid on. Like, I think we had a conversation with owners last night. We sat down, we looked at next season, discussed the plan over the next 3 to 5 years, and everybody's opinion on the table was that we need to find one league two. I think the club will support us to do that. So it's then doing it myself and Si and the staff to build a squad and a team that's capable of challenging at the top end of the table. But my ambition is, and I think it's a realistic ambition, is that we need to try and win the league. But I'm sure that'll be difficult. It'll be a very difficult task that lies ahead as well. So it's certainly not being arrogant or overconfident. But that needs to be our expectation. But I'm sure there'll be other clubs with the same aspirations as us.
How do you strike the balance in recruitment, Mick? Always we speak about Falkirk a lot this season, obviously, where they did come up and pretty much kept a lot of continuity from League One to the Championship, and felt that was the right road to go down, and it worked. And then eventually, of course, added a bit of stardust and maybe kicked them on to the next level. How do you strike that balance between your current squad and then, you know, what you need to add?
I think about like Falkirk, like ourselves, we've got a real distinct, obviously, way of playing. John's very similar to Falkirk. I mean, if you watch them week out, they're very well coached, possession-based side, you can clearly see that. I think it's easier to have that and continue that when you've got a lot of continuity. I think that's why Falkirk done so well. I think it'd have been harder for John if he was building a full new squad in the first year in the Championship to try and then embed all those principles. So the more of the group you can carry forward, then I think that becomes it's an easier sort of process. We'll try and carry as much of the boys through as possibly can. I think there's enough quality within the group to do that. Though obviously boys have maybe not played enough football and want to move on to pastures new and try other stuff. And we'll need to bring in maybe one or two just to freshen things up. But the core group will stay because I believe the group's strong enough. And as I say, they've worked with us for a couple of years now as well. So they understand sort of the environment, the sort of principles, the values around about the club as well, with the sort of philosophy. So I think it's easier when you're bringing new people into that group that's already embedded within the club, and they've got a responsibility, that core group of players, to make sure that they're leading that alongside myself and the staff. So we'll try and keep as many as we possibly can. There'll be some recruitment, but it won't be a massive amount.
Talk to us about the makeup of your squad currently, for people who don't know, because you've said it before, you know, people know you're sort of well-backed or well-resourced, but I think maybe with that comes an exaggeration. People think you've got a team littered with, you know, players that have played in the Premiership in the last two seasons, but, you know, it's just not the case. You've got guys who have actually maybe, East Kilbride's the top level that they've played at, or guys that have maybe played in League 2 and League 1 and have come down the way, and young players. It's a bit of a mix, isn't it, that you've got currently?
I mean, if you look at the squad, the majority are Lowland League and West of Scotland players. And then there's two or three, well, maybe four or five I brought in, like Jack Leaches and stuff like that we brought in the summer from Stirling Albion, who was obviously in League 2. We brought Jal Baldy in from Arbroath, but Jal, I mean, when I say Arbroath, he wasn't playing there week in, week out. I think sometimes maybe boys join from clubs like that, and there are a couple of leagues above, people think that you're bringing League 1 players in, but the reality is they're only getting a game at those clubs. So the majority of the squads, people have played at that level week in, week out. As you say, there is a massive exaggeration in terms of probably the resources we've got. Like, I've never hidden the fact that I believe we had the biggest budget in the league. I don't. That will be a lot more competitive next year. But aye, there is an exaggeration. But the boys have been testament, irrespective of what level they've been at, whatever level brought them in from. Like the one thing I'll say about the club is a proper professional run club. The demands that are placed on them, training Saturdays out with football. I mean, it's a lot for part time footballers. So it's testament to them all, irrespective of what environment they came from, that they've bought into that, and ultimately that's what's brought us success.
Well, we wish you every success. Looking forward to seeing it. It's nice for us as well, with a local radio station having another team on our patch. If you're looking for another ageing midfielder, Mick, I've got one sitting next to me. I'll pass his number on.
What do you mean another? You know my number, Mick. Mick knows my number.
He's far too handsome to hang about here at this group.
He played a wee game, a wee bounce game at Celtic Park yesterday, and he's still got it. So listen, well,
oh, he's definitely still got it.
Put you two in touch. Said. Can you see it? Good. Brilliant. Thanks again, Mick. Well done.
Take care, lads. Good speaking.
Cheers, man. Good luck.
There
Mick.
We go. That was Mick Kennedy, manager of East Kilbride, wanting to win League Two next season. And why not?
I like that.
Think that's possible?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I think they're a very good club, very well run, as Mick says. There, guys good in charge there. Mick's a terrific manager, Si, the staff. Everything about the club is set up to go and challenge. Why not, Gordon? I like that. You know, some
Hart's done it.
Yeah, some managers get in and say, well, we'll just consolidate, we'll build from there. Be confident in your own ability. Brilliant to hear.
I think as well, it's not like, I'm trying not to be disrespectful to the rest of League Two, but what we're seeing now is, with the way the pyramid is, there isn't that much difference. You know, there's not like a massive, not a massive gap. It's not like East Kilbride are going to be in there and be like this, you know, this tiny club in amongst all these others. You know, you would expect them to be competitive anyway before then deciding if it can actually be that.
I would expect East Kilbride to be one of the favourites.
Right up there.
Yeah, for me. Obviously, Celtic Hearts came up through the lone league and then went on to win League Two under Kevin Thompson as well. And obviously they've stabilised as a League One club. But listen, for me, I obviously know some of the players that play for East Kilbride, some real quality within that team. So for me, they would be up there as favourites.
Any East Kilbride fans out there, or residents of East Kilbride, or people that have gone along or want to go along or are excited by the fact that there's now an SPFL club in the area or anything like that, be a good chance to actually get in touch with us. Why not give us a call on 01419511025? If you've been on that journey already, what are you witnessing? What are you seeing? And if you want to jump on board, what are you hoping for? Why not give us a call right now? You also get the feeling, you know, and Mick kind of spoke there, quite like the honesty, saying, well, never hidden. We do have the biggest budget in the league. Not as big as people think, though, but the biggest. It's a club that has been trying to do this for years, Gordon, even before, you know, Mick and Si went in there. So I don't know if it's a stretch to say it kind of needed to happen, but, you know, everything was sort of geared towards that.
Listen, I went about the club. I knew a lot of people up there. I went to one of their games about 3 years ago at Celtic Hearts. Funny enough, when they were up there challenging about. And it was a club that's run with good, good people. Guys that want the best for East Kilbride, the community. They want to build that club. They want the success. They decided to go for a few experienced managers. They brought in Mick and Si, and it's worked brilliant for them. We wish them all the best.
Thomas is on the line. How are you, Thomas?
Hi there. I'm all good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you, Thomas. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I'm an East Kilbride fan.
Nice.
So I just wanted to obviously call and discuss obviously the events of the weekend and looking back to how the club has got here and looking forward to already some of the movement that's taking place to put us in a good position for League Two. So, for example, with the new stadium, that talks have obviously started and there's talks about that and the new contracts for Mick and Si, who have done a great job since they've came in, as you've mentioned. And as you've mentioned, Gordon, yourself, you said you weren't sure if it needed to happen. I would say, as a fan who has been a fan since I attended the club's first ever game in the Lowland League, and I've been attending ever since, I would say this was the season it needed to happen, especially with talks of reconstruction in the Lowland League and below. So this was the opportunity, and Mick and Si have taken that opportunity and grabbed the bull by the horns, and finally, we've got over the line. Fourth time of asking, we've managed to get over the line in a playoff.
How does that feel for you then, Thomas, if you've sort of seen it all and now it'll be SPFL football next season?
Well, it's absolutely incredible. Like I say, we've been in the Lowland League since its inception, and I've obviously been following the team from then on. As I say, I attended the first ever game in the Lowland League. So there's been quite a lot of change, obviously, within the team. And those this was the 12th season of the Lowland League. In that time, we've had 13 managers. We'd won the league four times, and this was the fourth time in the playoff, and we'd had some heartache, particularly last season against Stranraer, and a few years back against Cowdenbeath, we lost the playoff on penalties. So it's been an up and down roller coaster. So to finally get there and get over the line and achieve what the club had been set out for ostensibly pretty much as long as the pyramid's been open is absolutely incredible. For myself personally, though, it could have been slightly more incredible because actually, since January of this year, I've actually been living and studying in Seville.
Nice.
So I wasn't actually there to see the team finally get over the line.
That just means you're a jinx, Thomas. They eventually win. They eventually get promotion when you leave the country.
Yes, it would seem so. It seems so.
No, that's great. I like to hear that. You know, Thomas has been there right from the start, the very first game. I wouldn't pretend to have seen. I went to the first game of the Lowland League season this year because it fell just before we came back on a Saturday, and they beat Civil Service 7-1. Mm-hmm. And based on one game, I thought, there's no way this team won't win this league. But I hadn't obviously seen. It was 7-1. It was quite something. But I wonder how much confidence you think in terms of, you know, can East Kilbride climb the leagues or whatever? Think those cup games give you that kind of extra belief, that reference. You know, they beat Ayr, didn't they, in the SPFL Trust Trophy. They lost 3-1 to Falkirk in the Scottish Cup, but no real disgrace there.
Queen's Park.
It ended up heavy against Queen's Park, but they took them to extra time, and you know, it was 2-2. They had beaten Bonnyrigg Rose already in the cup and then beat them over the two legs in the playoffs. So is that where the belief comes from, as much as, you know, the Lowland League win?
Yeah, I think winning most weeks obviously helps with that. But when you come up against full-time teams, when you're a part-time player, it can be difficult. I think Scott Brown's done a good job at Ayr United, so they'll be really happy with that sort of scalp. There'll be ones where the players go out and they believe that they can go and match some of these players. So when they're looking at League Two, listen, I wouldn't be surprised to see them come up again. I genuinely do think they have the quality within their team. And like obviously Mick Kennedy touched on there, I think as a club they're trying to do everything really professional, and that's right through the whole club, commercial, the lot, and they've obviously got the backing there with the fans and the local community.
Brilliant, I like that call. Enjoy Seville, I'm sure that will be pretty easy to do. What a place. And we will get back with more of your calls and the answers to your teaser when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Scott Allen are here. It's the final part of tonight's show. You've got work to do in your teaser. Usually we've taken some answers by now. We've not done any. But I did give you the question a while ago. The Pragmatic Panda says, excluding the finals Celtic and Rangers have been in, can you name 8 former Old Firm players this century who've played in a UEFA Cup or Europa League final? Did you get any off the bat?
We've got Frimpong.
Yes, the most recent one. Yeah. Yep, Leverkusen, Celtic.
Going Scotty boy.
Mark Viduka.
Oh, good one. Remember Middlesbrough made a final?
Mirko.
Colo Touré,
Liverpool. And that's it for Celtic. Is that it at the moment?
Right, 4
to get. They're actually really tough. I'll give you a clue, because obviously since 2000 means the last 25 years. All 4 of these are from the very beginning of that time period. Okay, we're going way back.
Who's the centre-half played with Rangers? Portuguese.
No. Bruno Alves.
That's who I was going to.
No. You're not a million miles off with that, based on nationality,
Fino,
club he played for, and club he played for in Glasgow. Alright.
So it's a Portuguese Porto Glasgow Rangers player.
Correct.
In the early 2000s.
Yes. Oh, I don't like the silence. It doesn't work.
Silence
well
is golden here.
It does not work well. Let me tell you that for sure. Oh, he'd squish these.
Yeah. Struggling here, mate.
Okay. Well, let's hear a bit from Steve Clark. Didn't really get the chance to do it last night. Been really, really busy. Usually this last week of the season sort of quiets down a bit, but far from it on here. The Scotland manager announced that squad. He says uncapped Kieran Bowie's been selected. Over strikers who've been previously selected, he's liked what he's seen so far.
Yeah, he's had a good season. Obviously, injury affected at certain times, but Kieran's one that I've always had my eye on from the under-21s. Any time I watched the under-21s, he always stood out. Big physical, strong, good attributes to his game. And going into the summer, you've got people like Lawrence Shankland, Kevin Nisbet, who I know what they can bring to the squad, what they can give to me. So it was just to have a look at something a little bit different and see if we can expand the pool of players.
Mr. Hibbs, what are you saying?
I think he is something different. I've seen a lot of him recently. Seen him on Saturday, thought he was excellent. Strong, can hold the ball up, can run, very good attributes. And he obviously gets into scoring is, he can put the ball away. Listen, I think Steve Clark touched on the injury that I think he picked up in the 21s at the start of the season, but did rule him out for a long spell. But I think he's, at this stage of the season, obviously touched on Nisbet and Shankland, knowing what he can do, I think it's a good one. I think he's got a lot of quality.
Talk me through sort of what he does or what he is hopefully going to bring, because I feel like every time you watch him for Hibs, he is good. You know, as you say, yeah, he impacts games, but he also hasn't started loads of games this season. You know, it felt like he was pretty good coming off the bench. I know he did have the injuries, and then he would come in, start some games, but Hibs had other players who were, you know, good. I mean, he started five league games and got a Scotland call-up. But yeah, I actually think he deserved it as well, if that makes sense.
Well, he's obviously been in the system as well, so the coaches around about the national team, they've seen a lot of him. I think obviously you take the injury into consideration. Kurevich and Martin Boyle, obviously both been relatively good, Martin Boyle especially for Hibs. So when he has come in, and by the way, it isn't always easy coming off the bench and impacting the game, so he shows that he's got the right attitude. But for me, I think the kind of profile of him, obviously athletic, strong, and looks like he can score a goal. So listen, I don't think there's any problems with him getting the call.
But it is encouraging when you see someone progressing for the under-21s to, why not, you know, to a full international, why not give him a go? As Steve Clark says there, he knows what the rest of the squad can do. He doesn't know what this lad can do at that level. He is a very, very good player. Scott touches on that there. So why not? At the end of the day, what's the worst that's going to happen? You know, so it's good for the boy. It's good for Hibs as well as a club. They finished brilliantly under David Gray in third place, and Bowie's been rewarded with a call-up. Brilliant for him.
I think it's the position in the Scotland team where, whether you've started 20 games or 5 games, if you do have something about you,
James Wilson's in and stayed in.
Yeah, you'll get an opportunity, because it's been an area over the years where we have questioned, have we got enough coming through? It now seems, obviously, with Bowie and James Wilson, like, looking to the future, and we've moaned at Steve Clark for not introducing guys, so he's doing the things that fans did have concerns about.
However, at the other end of the pitch, two of the 7 uncapped players are goalkeepers, Robbie McCrory and Kieran Slicker. Angus Gunn's the other one. So Steve Clark is acknowledging there's a potential issue there and is hoping to unearth a new crop of goalkeepers.
Hopefully in the future we've got a number of good young goalkeepers coming through, because it's probably an oversight. I think maybe we should have picked up on it a few years ago. Since we had Craig, David Marshall and Arlen McGregor, we haven't quite had the same quality of goalkeeper coming through, so hopefully some of these younger ones can step up and show what they're about.
I feel bad for personally for those involved, because it's not, I'm not trying to criticise Robbie McCrory or Kieran Slicker or Angus Gunn or anyone. It's not their fault, you know, but we said it last night, Robbie McCrory is not the first choice at Kilmarnock at the moment. Kieran Slicker plays no first team football, really, very little. Xander Clark's injured, but isn't Hearts number one anyway. Mm-hmm. Liam Kelly, I think, is injured, who has obviously been come into the Rangers squad latterly.
It's a worry.
It's a real worry, isn't it?
I don't think there's any getting away from that. It's a worry. Especially because when we do go and play the better nations and we don't have the control of the ball, and you have to defend and you have to rely on your goalkeeper, it's such an important position. So I think at the same time, though, when you touch on your Craig Gordons, your Alan McGregors, David Marshall, goalkeepers who played week in, week out and were fantastic, all on their own merit, it is a problem, I think, that in the next maybe 6 months Steve Clark's got to look at.
I agree.
That's the thing. What does that mean?
I mean,
you can't force these things, but do you think maybe they have taken an eye off the ball? Should this have been identified? I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, Steve Clark basically said that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He says we should have addressed this a while ago. But when you've got the quality of Craig Gordons and David Marshalls, and you just think they're going to go on and on and on, but unfortunately they didn't.
Right, okay, what right. we got here? We're looking for the last eight former Old Firm players who've played in a UEFA Cup or Europa League final since 2000, obviously not including the finals that they reached those clubs. Frimpong, Touré, Viduca, Portuguese one.
What position, quickly?
He's like a forward, kind of wide man forward, I think.
No.
Wait.
I'm going to. We're so behind here. Nuno Capucho.
Oh.
This is my fault. We're so behind here. We get distracted with the Motherwell census.
I know.
Yeah.
What about a Dutchman who played for Celtic in that early period?
Bobby Petter?
Nah,
Reggie Blinker?
No, probably even more loved amongst the Celtic fans.
Dutchman.
Played for Feyenoord, Celtic, Nottingham Forest, maybe down the road. Van Hooijdonk. Another former Liverpool defender who played for Celtic very briefly. You'll not get him. Swiss. Was he Swiss? Austrian? Swiss?
Oh, no, you're talking about back.
Stefan Ongsho. And you should get the Rangers one. Marseille, Rangers, 2003-04 for Marseille, came to Rangers. In fact, might even have been in the Manchester squad as well. My timing's right.
I was going to say Hemdani. Bali,
Brahim Hemdani.
Ah, you were good there.
Here we go. We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us. It's been a really busy week. So apologies if you couldn't get through on the phones, but we will be back. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. See you soon.